Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
On DAB Plus, online, via the TalkSport app, and on your smart speaker. This is Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2.
If you love your boxing and your MMA, this is the show for you. Fight Night Extra with myself, Adi Oladipo, and the great Gareth A. Davis. All right, today we're going to be discussing the Queensbee versus Matchroom 5 versus 5 card, which has finally been revealed, and what a lineup it is. A huge fight, by the way, in New York this weekend as well, between two of the biggest names in the sport, Devin Haney and Ryan Garcia. We'll get it on. We're going to get stuck into that and ask what chance, if any, Garcia has of causing the big upset. And it was a massive weekend for the UFC as UFC 300 delivered in so many aspects. And we now have a confirmed return Mr. Mystic Mac himself, Conor McGregor. All right, look, loads to get through. As always, this is Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2.
You're going to look at it and you're going to go, wow, what a card. I mean, bearing in mind that the 5v5 sits below Bivol against Beterbiev, which is probably the best fight in boxing, right? This card is the best card I've ever seen.
Devin's Devin. I mean, he probably thinks he's not fake. You know, I mean, he probably thinks I'm fake. I'm acting. I'm doing this. So,
what did you think when you heard that he thinks you're saying one thing to his face and something else behind his back?
I don't know what he's talking about.
Oh, I just told him. See it right here.
June 29th. Conor versus Chandler. Five rounds, 170 pounds.
All right, go on. What have you been up to this week?
Well, a lot of things with you, actually. I spent a couple of days on the same trail as you, up in Morecambe with Tyson Fury. Yeah. That was a fun day in the Fury family. Frank Warren, Spencer Brown, and et al. Sugar Hill Steward there now. Then we went on a little road trip, you and I, to Manchester. Which was fun. It was great to catch up.
Agreed.
Then the DAZN Matchroom card at the weekend. So up there seeing a little bit of that. Back down for Talk Sport. A lot of paddle boarding and a lot of cycling this week because the weather's been good. Mm. Just rocking and rolling this week. It's been a quiet week for me. I go to Dubai this week on Wednesday. Looking forward to that. Crypto Fight Night. Presenting with Anthony Crawler. How's your week been?
You know what? Thank you for asking. It's been a busy one. As you say, me and you have been paired together a few days this week. I appreciate you giving me a ride from Morecambe to Manchester. It was a nice little hour and a bit chat. Gareth, I can confirm, is a very good but very crazy driver. But it's been an incredible week. Tyson Fury was in good spirits. Obviously, look, we both shared some time with him. Both got a few minutes with the big man. He looked in great shape.
He did. In great shape, didn't he? Yeah. Physically, he looked in great shape. But also, more than that, I just thought that he and the team were espousing, much like you do in your mellifluous way. they were espousing really hard research, hard training in camp. They were on the money with everything they were saying. Mm. I've had a debate on Saturday night with Spencer Oliver about this. Do cruiserweights can cruiserweights fare well at heavyweight, which we could delve into as well. It's quite interesting. Just very impressed with where he's at. And I personally, I never have, but I personally don't see him losing to Alexander Usyk. It might be a draw. It might be a cagey, weird fight. But I don't see him getting beaten up by Usyk. And if he does lose to Usyk, it'll be, I think, by a razor-tight decision.
Yeah. You know, as we were going up there, as I kind of got there, we were all kind of guessing what this press conference was about, right? Because I had no idea. I'm sure, obviously, you've got your ears to the ground. You probably knew. But me going up there, I was like, okay, what is this? And it was almost a case of almost Tyson Fury just reassuring everyone. I'm here, guys. Look, no playing around this time. This isn't the Ngannou setup. We're here. We're good to go. The whole team is good to go. Mm. John, Sugar Hill, we're all as one. We're all singing around the same hymn sheet. And it was almost just a reminder that he is the best heavyweight on earth. That's what it felt like.
Yeah, it's very well put. I mean, I was a little bit more party to what was going on in the background because I'd been hassling for time with Tyson Fury and asking, you know, obviously I knew he was disappearing, I think it's the end of this week, to Saudi to get into camp. And that was the 40-day mark from May the 18th, wasn't it? That we went up there. It was the 40-day mark. And I think originally a small group was going to go up there. And it was a chance to see Tyson. It was as simple as that. But I think then all the broadcasters wanted to go. Things needed to be filmed. And I think that it's a really good thing it happened last week because we've got the Beterbiev Bivol press conference. We're recording this ahead of time today, later on today, and the 5v5. And let's be honest, for me, a bigger event is probably, in terms of history, is the undisputed title. And it might have got lost a little bit this week with that. I mean, I think we should have all done a press trip to see Usyk last week as well, in my view. That would have been nice as well. And it felt like a lot of news generated from the visit to Tyson Fury. I mean, people were speculating all kinds of things, by the way. People were asking me, was he going to announce his retirement when I was on my way up there?
I honestly had so many calls about retirement, fight being off, AJ filling in. There was a couple of cryptic Instagram posts from AJ. I was like, okay, one second, what's happening here? But in the end, as you said, it was a case of Tyson Fury just reminding everyone that there is the biggest heavyweight title fight in years coming up May 18th, and let's not forget it. Because as you said, can be lost in this 5v5 Bivol versus Beterbiev press conference. So I think it was a case of that. You said you were also at the Matchroom DAZN fight, obviously Zelfa Barrett versus Jordan Gill. Let's quickly dive into that. Zelfa Barrett getting the win, stopping Jordan Gill. I don't know how Jordan got up from those body shots, by the way. I mean, credit to him. He's obviously been through a lot emotionally outside the ring in the last 12 months. And you can almost see that in his sort of post-fight speech, almost felt like he was kind of diving back into that. And I wanted someone to grab him and say, no, you're okay. It was a fantastic performance. You actually looked really, really good. Zelf from the night was just a bit better.
Yeah, that's very well put, Addy. Look, Jordan Gill gave it his all in there. It was actually a beautiful dance to watch. I was in the studio at TalkSport. I had it on the monitor or on my phone while we were closing off on that fight during fight night. It was glancing at it the whole time. The dance was beautiful. They're both in the center of the ring. Zelfa Barrett looked just marginally ahead all the way through the fight. He's a lovely, lovely boxer to watch. And Jordan Gill was mirroring that. I spoke to him in the week. I spoke to him on Thursday, Jordan, and he seemed in a good place mentally. He's there with his wife. Yeah. I think Amy, her name is, I think. And they were... he was very composed. He's going to be down and emotional about it. I don't know whether he will return to that very down mindset where he spoke about, you know, even contemplating taking his own life, didn't he, at one point?
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, God forbid he goes back to that. I was wondering when I was watching his post-fight speech whether he was going to retire.
You
know? But obviously he loves the game so much. Zelfa Barrett, for me, will go on and win a world title. It's just the right matchup for him. That's all he needs, the right matchup at Super Feather.
Yeah, and those matchups, I mean, you look at the world champions, obviously there's Joe Cordina, obviously, who takes on Anthony Kakache on the undercard of Fury versus Usyk. So he'll probably look at the winner of that one, potentially. Joe Cordina might want to go up as well, who's obviously a very big Super Feather. There's Lamont Roach, there's Oshaki Foster. I think Eddie spoke about Lamont Roach as being the one, basically, where they could maybe get Lamont Roach over here as well. Obviously, not a super big name in America, so potentially could be willing to travel. And you look at Zelfa versus him, it's a good matchup for Zelfa. So yeah, look, Zelfa on the cusp. Obviously, had a world title shot against Shavkat Rakhimov in Abu Dhabi a couple of years ago, last year. So he'll be looking to get another shot. Happy for Rhiannon Dixon and Anthony Crolla, that combination. Obviously, Anthony Crolla's first world title as a trainer. Rhiannon Dixon's first world title as a fighter. It's good to see Anthony Crolla, where he's done so many good things in Manchester, now on the other side doing good things as a trainer.
Yeah, and also his brother as well. It was a nice night for him. His brother, 12 years his younger, doing well on Saturday night as well, and him working with them. Rhiannon Dixon, the former dancer, turned pharmacist, turned boxer. Thought she did
what a trajectory that is.
I know, it is.
Dancer, pharmacist, boxer.
Exactly, wow. Exactly. Yeah, and, what I liked in the corner from Anthony Crolla on the night was when Carvajal was down early, but then rallied back. And Rhiannon Dixon was getting a little bit ragged with 8 rounds gone, and Crolla really read of the riot act. You know, you've got 4 minutes, sorry, left here. Not 6 minutes, 4 minutes left here. Last 2 rounds, this is yours. You've got to do this and you've got to take it. People might complain that there's a dearth of talent and that in women's boxing, and that there are only 30 to 40 elite fighters, and that's why they're going up and down the weight divisions, those women. But you've got to start somewhere, and then it is all progressing. She's a great character. She's a really strong-looking fighter at lightweight. Men's and women's boxing is in a very, very different place, of course. So I was really delighted for him, delighted for Crolla. Obviously, I'm going to be working with him in Dubai this week, heading out there on Wednesday, as I say. So no doubt I'll hear all about it. But I wasn't very happy with Crolla this week because he'd shorn off those beautiful Italian locks.
Can't believe he did that.
No.
I can't believe it. It's an absolute disgrace. And again, I know you kind of told him to his face. When was it? Was it Wednesday? Thursday?
Thursday morning.
I think you need to tell him again. Never to cut that hair. What a shame. Honestly, what a shame. Very quickly, on the lack of talent, if you like, on female boxing, I was reading something the other day about the Olympians and how many good Olympians, not ones that win medals, that ones just get to the Olympics, who don't turn pro, who just call it quits from there, just stop, which obviously doesn't happen on the male side of things, where if you are an Olympian, it's almost a fast track for you then to become a very good and highly paid pro in the women's game. A lot of them just decide, that's it. That's it. I want to go and be mothers, have a career somewhere else. And that wanting to box is ticked, if you like. Mm. So I almost think it's a case of trying to convince them to stay on. They don't want to.
Yeah, I mean, I all I'm saying in terms of the dearth of talent, by the way, just to qualify, is that the layers are quite
thin.
They're not deep enough at the moment, but they will get. They're improving all the time. I think it's a fantastic idea that we should be looking at ways to encourage women to stay on from Com Games, from Olympics. You know, I think it's really important. I mean, look at Lauren Price and Karis Artinstall now. I know they're the medalists, bronze and gold, or gold and bronze. But obviously, Lauren fights for the world title against Jessica McCaskill in Cardiff after, what is it, 7 fights?
Yeah.
So, you know, they are progressing very quickly. And Karis, no doubt, will fight for one at some point soon. It's a very, very good point. And they should be encouraged through funding of some sort because... I mean, Eddie Hearn's doing a great job with women's boxing at the moment. Lou DiBella's always pushed it in America. I think it's a very important time for women to push on. Well done, Ellie Scottney, as well, against Ségolène Lefebvre. C'est vachement bien, ça. A very fine performance from her. She's a terror, an absolute terror. And it delighted me this week that she'd been on the body bag with Billy Graham as well.
Lovely.
And he was there, obviously, on the Thursday of the press conference. It was really nice to drop in there. It was a very good week up in North.
Yeah, it was good week up North. But and he was, obviously, she got the Ring magazine belt, and it was the Ring magazine belt that Ricky Hatton won in that fight against Costa Zou. So Billy Graham actually walked to the ring as well, presented her the belt. So I love that. I love little things like that in the sport. It's good to see Billy Graham in good health as well. All right, you're listening to Final Extra on TalkSport 2. Still to come, we are going to look ahead to Haney versus Garcia this weekend, and we'll discuss the return of Conor McGregor after it was announced that he will finally fight Michael Chandler this summer. By the way, that fight is scheduled to happen on the same day as Bam Rodriguez versus Estrada. So DAZN might want to maybe switch up the dates on that one. But up next, we're going to talk about the 5 versus 5 between Matchroom and Queensbury.
Okay, the final pick will now be unveiled. Will the Matchroom heavyweight pick please remove your mask?
Bond Squad!
This is an ultimate surprise right here. And like Eddie said to Frank, you know, it's a shame that we can't work together in the business of boxing. This is what it's all about. The best fighting the best promoter going against the best promoters, the putting fighters together.
You're listening to Final Extra on TalkSport 2. Adi Oladipo, Gareth A. Davis. All right, we can now reveal the 5 versus 5. No more speculation. We've got the 5. I'm going to read it out. And Gareth, you're going to give me your thoughts on it. So, Deontay Wilder versus Zhili Zhang. What a fight that is in the heavyweight division. Daniel Dubois versus Filip Hrgović. Raymond Ford versus Nick Ball. Hamza Shiraz versus Amo Williams. And Craig Richards versus Willie Hutchinson. That is, ladies and gentlemen, your 5 versus 5. Gareth, scores on the doors. How good is it?
10 out of 10, no question. I mean, even with a kind of gentle undercard, if you like, a not a star-studded undercard with Dmitry Bivol against Artur Beterbiev, you would have accepted it. But this is an absolute 10 out of 10. You know, even the smallest fight there in terms of is it world level, Willie Hutchinson against Craig Richards, obviously Warren and Hearn in that order, is... That would headline at the, I don't know, maybe your call.
Yeah, or the Indigo.
Or maybe. The Indigo, yeah, something like that. But then the other four, wow. Great idea to match Zhili Zhang and Deontay Wilder, who are kind of a little bit down on their luck together at the moment. Even though I had Zhili Zhang drawing with Joseph Parker in at Knockout Chaos. Back on March the 8th. Wow, this year's moving quickly. I favour Zhang strongly in that fight, you know, but who the hell knows, knows?
I guess we're going to see Wilder's attitude at the press conference. If he is all singing, smiling Wilder, then I favour Zhang. But if he's back to that menacing, sort of really sort of angry Deontay Wilder, then I know he's back.
The bronze bomber,
well, exactly.
Malik Scott, his trainer, has intimated that they thought he was just too happy going into that last fight after the ayahuasca retreat. I remember I made big bones about that in my interview with him and also my written piece, and I found it extraordinary. He was enlightened, but so enlightened that his brain dropped out. As the great Umberto Eco, the sociologist, the Italian sociologist who wrote The Name of the Rose and many kind of intellectual pieces on symbolism in life, said it's really important as you grow for your mind to be open. So not so open that your brain drops out. And that's what happened to Deontay Wilder. Well, because there's some things you have to stick to. And maybe he got so enlightened that he, like you say, didn't have that kind of fire in his brain anymore that says I'm a killer and I'm going to go out there and just destroy people. Maybe he realized that peace and love was the way forward, but it's no peace and love against the big Chinaman.
It isn't. And yeah. I like the fact that he's having back-to-back fights as well. I mean, Deontay Wilder, as we know, had one round of action in 2 years, and that was that round against Alania. So it's good that he's now back out so quickly So they can get straight to it. But look, if you were looking at that fight card, removing obviously the undisputed light heavyweight title fight, what's your pick of the fight card? Which ones really got you interested?
Oh, it's all of them. It's tough. Ray Ford and Nick Ball is a really, really energetic, frenetic fight. I mean, I think Nick Ball beats Ford. I really do. I think Nick Ball beat Ray Vargas, to be fair to him.
So do I.
But I'm glad he's getting the reward of being out. Hergovich, Flip Hergovich against Daniel Dubois.
I think Dubois could get him.
I'm not sure about that.
I think Dubois. I've still yet to see this Flip Hergovich thing. I haven't seen it yet. All this promise of Flip Hergovich, you know, potentially becoming a world champion and, you know, a top five, top six heavyweight. I haven't seen it as much. And I just love this fight. All right, go on. Let's give our... Are we allowed to give our predictions, both of us?
Yeah.
All right, let's do it. Okay, so Wilder Zhang, you're going Zhang?
I'm going Zhang.
I'm going Wilder.
I wouldn't be surprised if I'm surprised by what happens.
Yeah, no, agreed. Right, I'm going Wilder, you're going Zhang. All right, Ray Ford, Nick Ball?
Nick Ball points.
Yeah, Nick Ball points. I think he's a terror. And I know he's going to be there for 12 rounds. This is a tough one. Hamza Shiraz, Amo Williams.
This is the first really big test for Hamza Shiraz. This is the test that propels him into a world title fight. It's almost like two young fighters fighting over a world title that they haven't got yet. Amo Williams is so explosive. Very, very talented. I've swayed back and forth on this. I just think Hamza Shiraz has got something special inside him, and he's got special power. And I just think he's going to do it. It's going to be an edge of your seats fight.
Yeah, that's a fantastic matchup, by the way. As you say, it's almost like there should be a world title on the line. They're both on the cusp of it, and I guess the winner has to fight for a world title. 160 pounds, surely you get a shot at it. By the way, I'm going Hamza as well.
Okay,
I'm going Hamza. I think there's something. It's a tough one, but you're right. There just looks like there is this something special around Hamza. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because he took himself off to America. He's just different. All right, Dubois Hergovich.
I'm going Hergovich. And I'm going Hergovich by... Listen, Daniel Dubois could crack anyone and knock them out in the heavyweight division. Anyone, literally anyone. I think he's capable of beating everyone from Fury down. On his day, because that power he's got and his physicality. I just think Hergovich has got some special qualities again, and I think Hergovich does it.
Okay, I'm going Daniel Dubois.
Okay, I get it.
Yeah, I'm going Daniel Dubois, hanging on for dear life at the end, but Daniel Dubois, which then I guess, by default, makes Daniel Dubois a top six heavyweight. What a story and turnaround that is. To the guy that everyone said quit against Joe Joyce, that's an incredible story, incredible turnaround. Craig Richards, Willie Hutchinson, for me, is an easy pick. I'm going Craig. I think this is a big step up for Willie Hutchinson. I think he's a WBC international light heavyweight champion, but I think this is quite a big step up for him. Although Craig has been, as you know, inactive because of injuries in the last couple of years. So that could be the equalizer. But I think Craig gets that one done.
I agree with you. I think Craig, when you're with Craig, you just realize that it must be 6'5".
He's massive. I'm so happy you said that. I can't believe how big he is.
He is a big, big dude. I always think of him as a cruiserweight, to be honest.
He's enormous. Yeah.
But incredibly tall. The thing is about this card, in fight week, when we're out there, I might change my mind on a few of these fights because it's one of those. There's so many 50-50s that we're looking from the outside, but when you're around them all week, little things happen that change your mind a little bit. And I think it might be one of those weeks. And then there's the big one. Artur Beterbiev and Dmitry Bivol.
Has the big one almost... I don't want to say been forgotten because it hasn't for me. I'll tell you now, for me, it's the fight of the year. I love it so much. But because we've all been talking about the 5 versus 5, you almost forget the main event's there still, guys. The main event is number one versus number two, like 2 pound-for-pounders. I almost feel like it's been forgotten a little bit.
Yeah, well, maybe, but we're going to see all 12 of them today when we head off into London. So
crazy.
I know that I've got sit-downs with Bivol and Beterbiev in the afternoon before the press conference starts with probably the national media. That seems to be the case. It's going to be fascinating to sit with them. Yeah, maybe, but the thing is, neither of them are big talkers.
Yeah.
Neither of them are... in a way, the undercard is selling the main event. It's a fight without His Excellency Turki Alşaykh and the Saudi Arabian team. I don't think we would have got, by the way. Mm-hmm. That's brilliant. We wouldn't have got the Hearn versus Warren, certainly, because that wasn't ever on the cards. We wouldn't have got this level of cooperation. So I think I'm going for Beterbiev at the moment, by the way.
That hurts my heart, that does, Gareth.
Why?
Because I'm Team Bivol. There's not a man I love more on earth than Dimitri Bivol. But I can't let my heart rule my head in this one. And Beterbiev doesn't like a man possessed, doesn't he? When he's in there, what a fight though! Two completely different styles, both from the Eastern Bloc. I think it's honestly a fantastic matchup. And I'm happy that you pointed out that this fight would never have happened without the involvement of Saudi Arabia and His Excellency Turki Alşaykh. Because when I spoke to him, he did say, like, this is a pay-per-view that wouldn't have done big pay-per-views in America or the UK.
No,
but both of the guys want pay-per-view money and they deserve it. Yeah. So they're taking a hit by putting this fight on. You're right, this fight wouldn't have happened. It would have been so difficult to get this fight over the line.
Yeah, I mean, weirdly, they could have put, and I've said it to, I think I said it to Top Rank's Hall of Famer Bob Arum in a conversation with him when we were out in Quebec. I was out in Quebec for Beterbiev and Callum Smith earlier in the year, that if they wanted to, and this was before this was announced, if they wanted to, they could have put Beterbiev and Bivol on at somewhere like the O2 Arena, and I think it would have sold out.
Agreed. They've got such a good fan base over here.
There's a love and respect for them, and I think they're big enough. They both fought here. Obviously, Beterbiev fought Anthony Yard. Bivol fought Craig Richards here. So they could have done that. If they'd really sold it, they could have done it. So it's great news for them. They're both undefeated, both in their prime, both pound for pounders, top 10 at the moment. It's an incredible fight. We are very lucky and very gifted at the moment to be having all these events and contests. You think about where we were a year ago.
Yeah, no, it's sensational. And
doing Misfits. Doing the Misfits.
Oh, no comment. And as Gareth said, look, this is being recorded before we go to the press conference. And I mean, these press conferences as well, Gareth, I keep word about these. They're ridiculous. Yeah. Like the fight posters at the back, it's just the stage with all the fighters on is going to be insane.
Yeah.
I mean, we're lucky because you don't always get these. I mean, you've been covering the sport 30 plus years and you must have been to some press conferences where a man and his dog turns up. Do you know what I mean? It's not, you don't get stuff like this all the time.
No, it's just enormous at the moment. And it's done in a big way. And it's done in a way that says, this is boxing. This is how boxing should be. This is how it can be. This is how big it is. And these are our biggest stars. And so it's a huge opportunity for the fighters that we love and respect to be on the top table at the moment. We're on the table next door watching, aren't we? You know, we're not, we're just messengers. Putting out their stories, their narratives, their lives that they go through. We're just trying to enhance and augment what they do. But it's going to be a really big day today and tomorrow, because I believe they're all around for a couple of days.
They are. You're correct in that as well. Yeah. So like you, I'll be sitting down with Bivol and Beterbiev today and then doing some interviews with the rest of the fighters, Eddie, Frank, etc. So looking forward to a couple of really good days with some of the best fighters.
And we haven't mentioned, it's Frank versus Eddie as well. And I spoke to Frank on Saturday night and he said, there's no pipe and slippers for me yet. I'm going into full war mode against Eddie Hearn. So there's the sideshow is going to be fun as well, isn't it? I mean, because I said to him, what do they do when the fights are going on? You two can't be sitting next to each other in the front row. With His Excellency one side in the middle and you one side and one the other. He said, no, we are doing that. I said, you're going to need security. You're going to need...
You know what? on that, you know, when you look at this, who do you think is like You know, Eddie, obviously, look, Eddie supports all his fighters and he does it in a certain way. And Frank supports all these fighters. But who do you think is the one where Frank is really behind? Now, I look at this, for example, and I think Frank...
Dubois.
I was going to say Nick Ball. Okay, no, Dubois. Because we've been with Dubois for so long, yeah?
We haven't, yeah, Dubois. Because we look, you follow the money and follow the belts at the moment. It looks likely that Anthony Joshua will fight the winner of Dubois and Hrgović.
Yeah.
And so, of course, Frank wants Dubois to win because then he gets Dubois against Joshua, potentially at Wembley. Then they might be looking at, you know, that because they talk about Joshua fighting at Wembley.
There is September.
If the IBF title is on the line at that point, that's Hrgović or Dubois, if that comes off against Joshua, is still.
That's really the one where both of them are going to have sort of sweaty palms. I think that's the fight where it's like, okay, we'll see what happens. Yeah. All right, really looking forward to it. Should be fantastic. Remember, it's June the 1st, same night as the Champions League, which is a bit of a bummer, but these things happen. All right, you're listening to Fight Extra on TalkSport 2. Up next, we're going to be talking Devin Haney versus Ryan Garcia, which is this weekend.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Big fight this weekend. The Barclays Center in New York. New York, Devin Haney defends his WBC super lightweight title against Ryan Garcia. I say big fight. You know, not, this is, bear in mind, this is a pay-per-view fight. I feel like it should feel bigger. Or maybe I'm doing it a bit of an injustice. I feel like maybe this fight lacks something. I don't know what it is. I actually felt like Prograis versus Haney felt a bit bigger for some reason. I don't know why. Maybe because it was a case of they were doing it in Devin's hometown of San Fran. So maybe there was a case of that, Devin going back to his home city. But I feel like this has just lacked a bit of spice for some reason.
Maybe. I mean, and also, they hadn't had a big fight. Remember, I lived in San Fran for the best part of 2.5 years. And there was not one fight there at the time. And it hasn't been a big fight there for a while. So it was a big occasion. I mean, the last time I think I'd been to a fight in San Francisco was when, or Oakland, the Raiders, was when Chael Sonnen fought Anderson Silva. And that was a big event. Yeah, the Oracle, the Oracle Arena. And it lends itself to great fights. So, yeah, it was a big event, that. It has gone under the radar. I mean, the storyline really has been the contretemps between the two guys at another fight they both turned up for. I can't remember which now. Mm. Remember when they had a row and Garcia pushed Haney?
What fight was that?
I'm trying to recall.
I can't even think of what fights have happened. Was that not at the Super Bowl?
It might have been at the Super Bowl.
Might have been the Super Bowl. Might have been that.
Yeah, the Super Bowl. Yeah, I think it was. Yeah. You're right. It was at the Super Bowl in February. And then since then, Devin, they had a press conference, they had a press conference tour, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
In a 2 or 3 day tour. And then really the all the news is focused on Ryan Garcia's mental health.
Yeah.
That's been the storyline all the way through. And I was just watching him before we came on air this morning, and he's still playing with us, in my view.
Yeah, and I'm like, the playing, I mean, hopefully it's a case of him trying to promote the fight, but I almost feel like because he's played so much, so many people are not giving him a prayer now, so it could backfire where they don't tune in. Because, we don't think he's got a chance anymore, he's not serious. So I don't know if this is him trying to sell the fight. I actually think he needs to stop because I feel like it's doing the opposite now.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I was about to do a Zoom with him last week and that didn't come off on the media day that he had last week.
See?
There's talk about it potentially being today. I might speak to Devin Haney later today as well. I want to ask him, is it a bit of a distraction, everyone saying that Garcia isn't in great mental state?
Mm.
But I suppose he'll just have been doing his game. His dad, Bill Haney, keeps him on course. And I think what I notice about Haney is he's growing all the time and he's looking more like a man. He doesn't look like a boy so much anymore. And physically, he's changing. And,
yes.
And, but here's the thing for me. If Ryan Garcia gets roundly beaten in this contest, and I think he'll be very competitive for 6 rounds, that's my feeling, there might not be so much of an appetite for him to have those very big fights. Because I think the loss to Tank Davis, the body shot, even though all the odds were stacked against him in terms of contractually, if Haney does a number on him on Saturday night, Addy, in New York, I think his cachet will have been really stripped away. And I don't see there being mega, mega, mega fights out there for him for a while.
Completely agree. I completely agree with you. He's a superstar and we all understand the following he's got, but ultimately you need to be competitive in the ring if people are going to want to see you fight. And if he does, and look, we always wanted to see these guys mix it with each other, right? Teofimo, Shakur, Javonte, Devin, Ryan, but we also wanted to see them being competitive fights against each other. And if he were to get soundly beaten, and that looks like it's the way it might go, by the way, on Saturday by Devin, then that could be that in terms of a pay-per-view bums on seats guy for Ryan. I do, and that's a shame, but that could happen. On Devin, quickly, I almost feel like he doesn't get his plaudits as much as he should. But here's a guy that's 25, took himself at the beginning of his career to Mexico to have fights because he couldn't, you know, get a pro license in America because he was too young. He's had 31 fights at 25 years of age, which doesn't really happen anymore in boxing. You know this, Gareth.
Yeah, yeah.
And you look at who he's fought as well. I mean, Abdullayev, Gamboa, Regis Progre, Vasily Lomachenko, Jorge Linares, George Kambosos, and now Ryan Garcia. He's fighting the names. He's giving us what we want.
Oh, yeah. Look, his growth has been extraordinary. Throwing Regis Progre in there as well. You did or didn't just then, but... He's been very, very well managed, and he's, for me, he's arguably the most the most augmented fighter in the last 2 years in America. I don't think there's another guy who's been in against the same level of opponents. His resume is incredible, so he deserves all the accolades that he's getting right now for being that number one. He's on the way to greatness. And I think, personally, I don't, unless Ryan Garcia pulls out one of those punches from hell on Saturday night and gets those hooks away and hurts Devin, they fought each other 6 times already in the amateurs, so they know what each other's like. I just think Devin will literally take over the fight from rounds 5 onwards, and I think he'll win convincingly on points, or if not, by late stoppage. I just see him doing it. And after this, then really, there's Shakur Stevenson for him, Tank Davis for him, maybe even, can I say Terence Crawford for him at welterweight? He won't do that fight because it will blemish his rise, but Imagine him against Terence Crawford at welterweight after after a fight with, let's say, Tank Davis after this. I mean, he's big enough.
He's got the options, right? You can be as good as you want, but if you haven't got any dance partners, it means nothing. So you just mentioned a few dance partners. Teofimo Lopez, it could be a name as well, 140
I think
pounds.
He beats Lopez. I think
Jaron Boots Ennis at 147, who Matcham have just signed. I mean, there you go.
Yeah, well, I surely Eddie Hearn is going after the Terence Crawford fight with Boots Ennis. Surely he's doing that.
Yeah, surely, 100%. I mean, hopefully they can offer Terence something ridiculous to get Terence back in the ring, because I have no idea what Terence is doing right now. Have the fight of the year last year and you haven't fought since. And I think Terence is going to be 38 soon.
Yeah.
Which is incredible. 38, Terence.
No mileage on the clock. No mileage.
Yeah, you're right. And he lives the life. Yeah. He lives the life completely. All right, you're listening to Final Extra on TalkSport 2. Up next, we're going to talk UFC 300. Fantastic card. And the return of Conor Mystic Mac McGregor. All right, let's switch gears now and talk MMA, the big one on the weekend, UFC 300. Look, hand up for those that are listening and not watching. I'm putting my hands up here. I got it wrong. I wasn't too impressed with UFC 300. I ran down the list of fights and I was like, this isn't big enough, not for UFC 300. And last week, me and Gareth were like, UFC 100 was enormous and 200 was enormous, which they were. And 300 doesn't quite feel as big. Sometimes you just got to wait to see how things play out, because that 300 delivered and then some, Mr. Davis.
Absolutely. Well, I did say on Saturday, it wasn't so much the matchups were really good. And I said before the event, the matchups were really good. But what we didn't have was the star power in names. But, you know, we didn't have a Conor McGregor on there. We didn't have McGregor and Chandler on there would have been extraordinary, for example. Yeah. I know we're going to come to that, but... you know, John Jones is out at the moment. That we have to rely on the matchmaking being good. Dana White was really good in the build-up during the week, pumping up the bonuses to 300 grand from 50. You know, they played their part in it. The event really delivered. And I always thought the fights would deliver. We would get five or six kind of outstanding fights that would live long in the memory. And as we'll go on to talk about, there were. And there was some controversy as well. But they don't have the Brock Lesnar's, they've got Jim Miller, who's at 100, 200 and 300, of course. Incredible. I can't see that happening again.
400.
No, he won't be at 400, but I can't see it. Well, who knows? But
who knows? I mean, Randy Couture went on and on and on. Who knows?
He did. Yeah. But like you say, it really delivered on Saturday night, Sunday morning in Vegas time, and all the fighters put their all into it. And it's a great machine. It's a monolith. It's a behemoth in fight sports. The decathlon of fight sports lives on. And you know, the Professional Fighters League, who bought Bellator and won championship, have all got a lot of chasing to do and catching up to do with the UFC.
A massive amount. And they might not have thought that before the weekend, but after the weekend, they then realised that the gap between their organisations and the UFC is still as big as it has ever been. There's always a star that comes out of this, right? I mean, of these events, you always can kind of go through. And Max Holloway, you just look at his resume. I honestly, I was racking my brains about this. I don't think there's anybody, and look, you're a historian when it comes to UFC, but I don't think there's anyone in the history of the UFC who's had fought as many star names as Max Holloway has. I can't think of anyone.
Well, I remember Max on a press tour in Germany when he was 19 still. I mean, he must be in his early 30s now. He was one of the very youngest ever to come into the UFC at 19. An incredible fighter, destined for the sport. And that last second knockout of Gaethje.
Oh, my God.
Just sent the place into uproar, the T-Mobile Arena. It was an incredible finish. I'm not sure what the cards were at the time.
No, he was comfortably winning.
He was comfortably winning.
So that's why it made it even more crazy that you're comfortably winning and you're so
down in that white.
Yeah, you're saying to Justin, okay, let's go. I'm giving you an opportunity here to knock me out with 10 seconds to go. Let's do this. You're the puncher here. You're the bigger guy. Yeah. And he still slept him.
Badly.
Face plant.
And horribly. Yeah. And horribly.
Horribly.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think he's just incredible. Obviously, Pereira beat Jamahal Hill, as many predicted. You know, like, obviously, look, we Conor McGregor came into the sport and quickly rose to superstardom. But in terms of the way Pereira's just come into the UFC and is already a two-weight world champion and is already on many people's pound-for-pound list as he should be, I mean, his rise into the UFC and the dominance is frightening. It's so frightening how quick he's done it.
Yeah, it is. It is. And also, I think part of the charm of him at the moment, he's got that kind of stone-faced look. Doesn't smile a lot. Yeah. Doesn't speak English.
It's wonderful.
So everyone's got to work around who he is, what he is, what is he really, what's he really like. I think there's probably a very dry, very humorous person deep inside there. Because I've seen him do some skits in the build-up. To UFC 300, where he clearly got involved and was happy to do it. I mean, God, he's a very big human being at the end of the day as well. And I'm right in thinking he's fought at middleweight and light heavyweight, hasn't he? So how he gets that frame into middleweight is extraordinary. You know, when you think, when you and I joke sometimes that, you know, we our weight is down and we talk about our own weight and you've been down to 175, 180. When you think he can make 185.
It's frightening.
It is frightening. And he's, you know, he's like a man mountain. Yeah. I think Jamahal Hill, obviously was caught by that kind of slide in left uppercut, wasn't he? And that was kind of like the beginning of the end. I think he's also got a presence, Pereira, that terrifies opponents.
I think he is as scary as it gets.
I think he
is frightening. And he weighed in. He showed that he weighed in, I think, after the weigh-in, 12 hours or 12 to 18 hours after the weigh-in, he was 235 pounds, I believe.
Yeah. It's
235 pounds. Yeah. But basically, he's talking about going to heavyweight.
Yeah.
To fight Aspinall.
But that's how to make him a star, because I think he's got the size to do it. I think, as you say, there's weight divisions for a reason. It probably is a stretch too far because you can go up to 265 pounds and Aspinall's probably 240 odd. He's a very big man himself. But again, this is what creates stars in the UFC league. People doing things that other people just haven't done before.
Yeah. Let's talk finally. We'll end on this one. Conor McGregor is finally back. I mean, I won't hold my breath because we've got to get to the date first. But Conor McGregor is back. He will fight this summer in America against Michael Chandler, June. 170 pounds, that's what we're hearing. It's good to... I'm wishful thinking to think Conor can make 170. But he does look a lot leaner, I will say that, than he did a few months ago in the lead up to him getting his film out. Looks like he's going to come back. The UFC have been begging for him to come back. They need that pay-per-view star. There is none bigger in all of sports than Conor McGregor.
Yeah, I mean, look, he made the announcement. I think it was at New Year, by the way, over a glass of wine.
And a steak.
And he said it was going to be at 185.
He did. This is it.
He did at the time. It'll be on International Fight Week. It'll be Michael Chandler. It'll be 303. What is it? UFC 303, isn't it? 303. July 29th, is it?
I think it is. Is it July or June? I can't remember.
June 29th, July, whenever International Fight Week is, either June or July 29th. It's a really dangerous fight for him. I mean, Chandler hasn't been that active either, have they? Has he? And, you know, it's going to be a great... Have you found it?
Yeah, June 29th.
Yeah, June 29th. But Chandler hasn't been that active either, and he's knocking on now.
And he certainly isn't a 170 guy, Chandler. Certainly isn't. He's a 155 guy.
Or 145 as well. I think he's 145 as well. So there are advantages there for Conor McGregor, but Chandler's going to do what Chandler does, which is come forward, chain wrestling, throw heavy punches. You know, Conor's going to have to be really smart. I was there when Chandler was beaten by Pitbull in Bellator when he was knocked out. So he can be knocked out. So Conor's got to do a Jose Aldo on him to win it, basically. He's got to do a Jose Aldo.
And I still believe Connor can do a Jose Aldo. So we'll see. But it's good to have Connor back. Yeah. I do wonder, as I said, what DAZN do with regards to their big fight, which is Juan Estrada versus Bam Rodriguez, which is on the same date. I mean, that's a nightmare to try and go toe-to-toe with the return of Conor McGregor. We'll see.
All eyes will be on him that night. I mean, there's no question about, you know, what the return of Conor McGregor. The Mac is back. You know?
The Mac is back. They're going to have to go early. Again, you can't compete with Conor McGregor. Yeah. Gareth, as always, we crammed in quite a lot to the show today. So thank you very, very much. As we said, we are filming this before we head up for the press conference. So Gareth, I will see you at the press conference. And no doubt we have a lot to talk to there as well.
Toodaloo. See you later.
See you later, my man.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.